James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Now, Jerry, you'd be really proud of me because we got Ray Allen's book, The NBA Player, and I read like 200 pages last night. That's big for me. That's huge for me. Ray Allen's with us.
200?
from the outside. Ray, I never read. I read your book, part of it.
You must have been trying to get to the good stuff, huh? You were, like, trying to figure it out.
Well, Ray, my partner Torg here, he's the big sports guy, and we're all NBA fans, of course. But as I leaf through, I'm not the fan he is. I'll tell you what, it is a fascinating read, especially the draft night for you going back when Minnesota, you end up in Milwaukee, you had just met your girl. Really, really a good read from the outside.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey. I try to be as honest as I can. This is the truth of the life that I've lived. And, you know, what we talk about so much is we talk about the finished product, somebody who's playing in the NBA Finals or somebody who's doing something great in their life. But what we tell kids all the time is that the great things that you see about celebrities and people in the spotlight, you see 10% of their life, but the other 90% is the work that they put in to get to those spots. So that's why I wanted to write a book to make sure they understood that there's so much other stuff that goes into life and to being good or being great. You know, it's the consistencies in life that, you know, ultimately gets you on to that pathway.
Yeah, that's why I'd recommend people to buy this book, because a lot of times, Ray, and you know this, when athletes write a book, it's like a greatest hits album. Nothing's wrong. It's always good. And you actually point out your flaws from being a senior and having a child when you're still in high school. One thing I wanted to mention earlier in the book, you talk about going to South Carolina and the racism. Then you go on a recruiting trip to Alabama where the trucker gives you the middle finger for being black. It seems just from reading the book, you just kind of realize it is what it is without bitterness.
Yeah, and I'm extremely ecstatic about the life I live now, the people who are in my life, the things that I get to do now. There's so many great things happening to me, but again, you know, I wouldn't be who I am without the stuff that's going on in my life or what's happened to me in my life. So it's important to talk about those things and let kids know there are going to be things that happen to you that, you know, aren't necessarily going to be the greatest things in the world, but you have to just kind of tighten your bootstraps up and say, okay, well, tomorrow will be another day that we can work on and make it a better day.
Yeah, well, you were always known for your grit and your hard work, so that's no surprise what you overcame. But go back to that that draft night in 1996. Now, help me here. That had to be probably one. How many Hall of Famers were in that draft? That had to be one of the best drafts of all time, right? Yourself,
yeah,
Kobe,
Steve Nash, Derek Fisher,
Iverson.
My
God.
Stephon Marbury, Antoine Walker.
Good Lord.
Yeah, we had some players there, but I will say this though. You have to always remember when we had this conversation always about the generations and who was the best player, who was the best individual team or whatever it may be. But just think about what meant to us. Like, I could show you what my favorite Jordan was because it was based on the nostalgia created when I was growing up. So you ask kids now what their favorite Jordan is. It's one of the Jordans that's kind of further down the line because that's what they grew up with. And that's kind of, you know, when you grow up, everything surrounding how you grow up is the best. It's everything. And so, you know, the players now are ushering in the generation of kids now. So when they grow up, they're going to have big, fond memories of what LeBron did.
Right.
You know what, Ray, you touched on my number one pet peeve with sports. And we can get into this because I never comment about guys I didn't see. Like, someone could say Jim Brown was the greatest running back. I don't know. I never saw him. But I did see Michael Jordan play. I did see LeBron. And like you said, any millennial's going to say LeBron because that's the guy they grew up with. Well, you got to play with Jordan. You got to play against him, excuse me. And you got to play with LeBron. Now, two different positions so they can do different things. But in your mind, who is the better player?
Well, again, hands down, I have to say it's Michael Jordan. You know, LeBron, at the end of the day, may have the greatest stats. Just having played so long, and he's such a dominant force, and he takes great care of himself. He's going to have an extensive career when it's all said and done. But the way MJ played the game, the dominance You know, he played with power, with grace. He played with efficiency, with smoothness. And I don't think he had any weakness. You know, we tried to exploit everything about his game, but it was nothing that he couldn't do out there on the floor. And then at his size, you know, now you look at the size of the player. The average NBA size is 6'7". He was 6'6". He played. He was a giant among men. So
yeah,
you know, it was almost like just flash. Like he can get in the gaps. He can get in the creases. In defense, he would guard you from 90 feet. It was remarkable what he was able to do and how he did it for such a long period of time.
Ray Allen is our guest this morning. The book is called From the Outside: My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love. And Ray, you know, you were one of the, known as the assassin. You were putting those threes down back, you know, starting 20 years ago. If you were playing today, imagine the numbers, the way they put the threes up now, man, you'd have really had some large numbers.
Yeah.
Larger.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was always that guy because when I first got into the NBA, Chris Ford was my coach in Milwaukee, and he was actually the first coach or the first player to hit a three in the NBA when the three-point line came into existence. But when I got to the NBA, they used to always say, don't settle. You know, you have to, you know, take it to the inside.
Right.
So, yeah, so it was like I shot threes always with an apology attached, like, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to shoot that. I should have went in. Yeah, so now it's, you know, guys shoot very unapologetically. And
yeah.
Because I'm always like squirming a little bit. And I see a guy take a shot, I was like, whoa, that was a tough one. And then I look, they go to the coach, and the coach is like clapping his hand, like, great shot. Get back on defense. So it certainly has changed a lot.
Hey, a couple quick ones for you, and you mentioned George Karl a lot in the book, especially when you're with the Bucks, or with the Seattle, right?
No, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, that's right. Yeah. Who's the best coach you ever played for? And the follow up is, you mentioned Garnett a lot in the book. Is MJ and Garnett very similar in the fact where they just don't give a crap to be friendly? They're just ultra competitive.
No, I don't think they're similar. They both are ultra competitive. MJ was interesting because he would be destroying you, but then having a conversation with you at the same time.
Okay.
The way he and I played when I played against him, he would always, you know, he was like, you know, young fella, he's doing a great job out here. And meanwhile, he'd shake me and then score two. I'd foul him and he'd go to the free throw line. Look at the coach, he's like, doing a great job out here. You know, you don't have to worry about it. So. KG he wouldn't say anything to you. He talked trash to you, score on you, then look at you, then run back down the floor. So, you know, they had their different styles, but both equally competitive.
And best coach you played for?
I have to say one of my favorite was Bob Hill. Bob was just, you know, he was great on both ends of the floor. And,
yeah.
You know, equal disciplinarian, equal, you know, guy that would, you know, give you accolades and praise. So, you know, we always appreciate it as players.
Well, now, Ray, with this book and your NBA career, you can get more than two jeans like you had in high school.
Amen.
Thanks for coming
on, man. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, Ray Allen was a shooter. And now we could finally, Skaggs, put on your mic here. I'm so sick of this argument when it was so simple. We argue all the time, and I tell him, dude, you never saw Jordan play, so why do you argue over stats? Are you ready to admit I was right about Jordan and LeBron?
I'm more ready than I was.
Who's smarter, you or Ray Allen?
Probably Ray Allen.
You're working with me, and Ray Allen is like in a mansion somewhere, case closed.